stop and say, good morning. Welcome. We're glad that you're here for Family Sunday, always an adventure, Family Sunday. We are in the series Elite Life, and originally there were going to be 8 sessions, and I realized, no, we have to do one more, and so this is number 9, and I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today. I think it will really tie things together nicely. And so, just a quick overview, here's this graphic we've been using to kind of capture the idea. And so this circle graphic is basically your life. Okay? And what we want is to have Christ at the very center. And whenever he's the center, then we can have this abundant life that he's promised. Without that, we cannot. And so we want the life, this abundant life that he promised. And so if he's at the center, then we can have that. Well, what would that look like? Well, eventually, whenever he's living through us, then there will be this mission, this outside ring, this mission that he has for us that we'll be able to accomplish. This thing bigger than us, this destiny, this eternal reward that we're contributing to. Our lives make a difference for eternity. That's the mission on the outside. But the way Christ will accomplish that mission will be through all the stuff in our lives. Sometimes we think it's separate. No, it's through all of it. And so we've looked at these different categories. We have relationships, responsibilities, and then recreation or recreation. And so in relationships, we've talked about family and how we have to have love, and God needs to help us have that love. We've talked about friends and the influence that they can be and that we can be. We've talked about fitness and how that can be a witness. Our fitness can be a witness. We've talked about fun. Okay, how do we have fun and make it something that is fulfilling as well? Responsibilities, our finances. How do we return to God in a way that's pleasing to him? Our field, our work. How do we leverage our work Monday through Friday for eternity? There's a lot of stuff, right? There's a whole lot of stuff going on. Well, so today, you know, there's a word on there that we haven't talked about. If you've been here from the very beginning, there's a word on there that we haven't talked about yet. The word above Christ in that little white circle is the word identity. We did a whole series on that one. We have to know who we are. When Christ is at the center, he will help us understand who he's made us to be. Then that will influence everything else in our lives. But there's one more word. You see it? Perspective. We have not yet talked about perspective, and I thought we could do it another time, but no, this is how we put a bow on the series. And so today we're talking about perspective. The verse that we'll be camping on is 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. So again, what we're talking about is life, which means the presence of God. Eternal death is separation from God. Eternal life is presence with God in heaven. And so if we take that down to our earthly lives, we remember that we want to bring God or allow God to come into every part so life can be in those individual, practical, day-to-day places so we can have abundant life. So whenever we look at this graphic, like we've talked about for all these different weeks, there's the family and there's work and the finance and all these things, and you're asking God, God, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? And it seems like a lot to keep up with. It seems like a lot of work to do. Well, I have a little video here, and it's a song, actually, a music video by a guy named Danny Gokey, and I think this may help a little bit, okay? So here's a video that may give you some peace.
I've been running in circles, jumping the hurdles, getting caught in that rush of doing so much. I'm feeling kind of worn out. All this checking the boxes, trying to be flawless, has me spinning my head, catching my breath, too afraid to slow down. I tell myself to keep this up, that God wants more than just my love. But I've been complicating things, it's just like me to overthink. Gotta keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero, 'cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking, but if we wanna find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. All this.
You're like, that's way better than you. Let's listen to him the whole time, right? So two things, right? It all comes down to this. What's that? Love God and love people. Well, where does that come from? What comes straight from Jesus? Somebody asked Jesus one time, what's the great commandment? What's the greatest? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is number one. But then he threw in another one. This is the great and first commandment, and the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And to me, this is like, oh, I can do two. Right? 10 is like, okay, maybe. And we had six sections, right? The three, you know, okay. But two, yeah, bring me two. Love God, love people, I can do that. And so I've been on this bandwagon, this love God and love people, two rules thing, since you've known me. This was my deal. In fact, when I was in college, before I knew Laura, before the light came into my life, right? I was doing, for 20 years, I've been pushing this. Look, guys, I have great news. I have great news. It's not 10 commandments. It's just two. You can do two. It's just two rules. Love God, love people. I'm like, yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, now, so is anybody feeling better? Can you do two? Okay, all right. Right here, it's then two. Peace, it's all in, all right? So, but let's think about this, okay? You still have a little bit of work to do if you're going to do these two. So I want to look at this verse as we're going along here. I think about this. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, okay, two is better than 10, but do we have to do, two is kind of hard still. I mean, loving God, loving people, that's everything, really. That's still a lot of work, right? And he's saying, look, I'm going to make it easy on you. How does this work? Well, I have another video. It's video day, all right? Here you go.
Everybody has a hero.
Okay.
Mine's my dad.
Yes, I get it.
Since mom died, it's only been us. He has a way of filling my life with color.
Dad, which one?
That one.
Sometimes I don't understand his advice, but I trust him. And what always brought us together was our love for running. One day, I'll be faster than him. And when I am, I'm gonna win every marathon in the world.
Abby? What's wrong, champ?
Or at least that was my plan. I'm losing my sight.
And real quick, read to me the lowest level that you can see on there. What is called is interocular melanoma.
Eye cancer.
Unfortunately, you will lose your vision.
That was the day my father disappeared. Dad!
Wakey, wakey. Ready to run, champ? Come on.
I thought he would always be there for me. I guess I was wrong.
Dad, where are you? Dad!
You abandoned me. Where are you, Dad? Where did you go? Do you not love me anymore? Am I still beautiful? Are you no longer proud of me? How could you leave me when I need you the most?
Dad! Dad! Dad, why did you leave me?
Abby thinks I've left her. And as much as it pains me to hear that, she's right. I've left her.
The best that we can do is save the actual eye so that cosmetically she doesn't lose it.
It's my girl. It's my girl. It's my little girl.
There's support groups, and I know this is a very difficult time.
No!
I've left her to realize she's more courageous than she ever imagined. I've left her to discover how beautiful she is from the inside out. I've left her to challenge herself in ways she never considered. I've left her to discover how strong she really is.
Me, baby.
Why did you leave me?
I was right here. I was always here.
Where did you go?
I was always here, baby. Listen, no one believes in you more than I do. Think about how far you've come.
My dad says he gave me what I needed, not what I wanted.
You ready?
Yep.
Folks, what we're seeing here is amazing. This is a testament of true love.
Love is allowing someone to see their true worth and beauty. I used to think my dreams were over. I thought I'd never run again. And even though I can't see my dad, I know he's guiding me the entire way.
In the moments where you go,
we have to change our perspective a little bit. And it's time for us to understand what's really going on in this story. And this verse helps us. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us." Do you see the difference? We get this idea, if I can just perform, if I can just check the boxes, if I can just do enough, then I'll be okay for this God, this Father who's so hard on me, who needs all these things from me, who is so demanding of me, and it's this pressure from Him. And this verse says, no, that's not how it is. That's the wrong perspective. You have to flip it around. So instead of having the idea, like the girl in the video, that my dad is abandoning me, he's hurting me, the reality is, no, the opposite is true. He is for you. He is supporting you. He is carrying you. He is surrounding you. He is loving you. And so here's the perspective shift that we desperately need. It's this: God loves you. Can you say after me, God loves me? Can you say it? God is for me. Say that. Again, God loves me. God is for me. So here's the reality. He's not against you. You don't have to do things to try to make Him happy with you. He loves you. He's provided for you. Here's the perfect example of that. Romans 5:8. I love this verse. God shows His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you look at this whole passage, it talks about how, look, if he would give His Son for you when you were enemies, now that you're His children, what would He do for you? If Jesus was willing to die and in dying brought you in, now that He's resurrected and alive, what will He do for you? And so we have to get away from this mindset that he doesn't care about, he doesn't love us. And that's what Satan wants to tell us. Satan's main lie from the very beginning, back in Genesis chapter 3, God is against you. He told Eve, he doesn't want you to eat the fruit, because if you eat the fruit, you'll be like him. He's holding out on you. God doesn't love you, is what Satan told Eve. And we've been walking under that lie ever since. And even when we become believers in Jesus, we still fall into that lie sometimes that God's against me. No, he's for you. He loves you. He's supporting you. When Jesus was before Pilate, they were talking about truth. And Jesus said, for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And you may say it's just truth in general. I think it's a specific truth. And it's this truth. God loves you. Jesus is the perfect example that God loves you. He's for you. And so then you can accept this love that he's wanting to pour out into your life. So then it changes this whole story, right? Instead of you trying to get all these things straight for him, no, you're allowing him to do it for you. You're walking with him. You're walking in his power. And so our perspective has to shift. We have to think of it in a different way. God loves me. And because he loves me, I want his way in my family. I need his way in my family, right? Because if he loves me, then what he has for my family is good. And so I don't just say, I'll do this because you want me to. I want what you have for me in the area of family. And in all of the areas, we say, God, I want it. Please help me to see. And he says, look, I have good things for you. If you'll just let me love you, if you'll let me love you, you can have abundant life. That's the perspective change that has to happen. Don't please God. Let him love you. Receive the love of God, which is what he's offering in all these areas of our lives. Receive his love. We're not doing it to please him. We're doing it from his pleasure, in his pleasure, walking in his love and in his power. There's a movie out right now called Aladdin. I haven't seen the new version, but I saw the cartoon version, so I know how it goes, right? There's this moment where, is it Prince Ali? Is that his name? He comes up to Jasmine's balcony on the magic carpet. He's like, you want to go? He's like, oh, I don't know about this. And he holds out his hand and he says, do you trust me? If she says yes, he pulls her onto the magic carpet. What will he show her? A whole new, right? I mean, he's going to show her a whole new world if she will just trust him. Take his hand and say, look, let's go for a magic carpet ride. Guys, that's what's happening with you. That's what's happening. God is saying, do you trust me? I've got a whole new world. An abundant life that would completely blow your mind away. I've got this for you. Unbelievable sights, indescribable feelings, over, under, freewheeling. I'm sorry. I'm telling you, what God has for you is out of this world if you will just trust him and take his hand. Go for the ride. Go for the ride. Let him love you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to love you. He's not against you. He's for you. Will you have that mind shift? Will you allow that perspective change to happen in your heart? Will you let him love you in your life? That's how we get to elite life. Not pleasing him and getting all these things squared away, but really allowing his love to pour into every area. And then that's when we have life. Here's what I know today. There are some in the room that have not yet taken the first step of receiving the love, and that's saying yes to Jesus' offer. He holds out his hand saying, I will save you. And so today, that's your step. If you have not yet taken that step, I believe today is your day. You say, I'll do it someday. Well, even when that day gets here, it'll be today. So let's just make it this today, all right? Say yes to Jesus. He wants to love you. And say yes to that today. Receive the forgiveness that he died to give you. In just a minute, we're going to remember his death through communion. And let today be the day when you experience his forgiveness, the death he died for your sin. Receive that forgiveness. The resurrection, he overcame death. Walk in that excitement that you have the promise of eternal life. Others of you, you're a Christian, but you're still living under the pressure instead of living over with the love of God in all areas of your life. So I encourage you, let's have the perspective shift. Let's go for abundant life, not trying to do all the things. Love this person, love that person, get all this thing. No, let's let the love of God pour through us into all areas of our lives. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Lord, I pray for those this morning who need to make a decision that they will have the courage, the faith to take the next step. Not 20 steps, just this one. So I pray for the people in this room who need to trust Jesus for the first time to say, yes, I receive your forgiveness. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. If that's you today, you're saying, you know what? I haven't yet trusted Jesus, but today I want you to pray for me as I am taking this next step. Would you raise your hand if that's you today? You're thinking about, hey, today's my day to trust Jesus. Would you raise your hand if that's you? Got one here. Thank you. Another person. Another person raised their hand. Thank you. Anyone else? I need to trust Jesus. Thank you. Father, I pray for these that have said, I need to take this next step and trust Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you save us. So help them to continue this first step, the next step on the journey that you have, one step at a time. Others of you in the room, you're a Christian. You have taken that step of trusting Jesus and being forgiven, but you're walking under this I have to do things mindset, the perspective that I have to tick boxes. And so maybe today you're saying, I need a perspective change so that I can walk in the love that God has for me instead of trying to earn it. And maybe there's something in your past with family or whatever that makes you think that way, but we're going to let that go and say, I want to walk in the love of God. Not trying to earn it, but just walking in it. And if you want to improve in this area, if you want to have a perspective change, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you as well. Several hands all over the room, all over the room. Thank you. Hands back down. Father, I pray for these who are just honest and saying, you know what? I get it backwards sometimes. I feel like I'm on my own trying to please you. But I know that's not right. Father, I pray for your blessing, for your favor, for your Holy Spirit to be poured out in these people's lives so that they can know what it is to be loved and to walk in that love. Lord, help all of us as we go from here today to be different, to help us to see you are a loving Father. You are for us. Lord, as we transition into a time where we remember the death, the sacrifice of Jesus, I pray that you'll help us to have hearts that are soft, as we're grateful for what you've done, Lord Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask Steve if you would go ahead and lead us through communion time.